Yo, yo, hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So there's been a response from Stephon Diggs off the comments by one Stephen A. Smith earlier this AM on First Take. Let's go in order here. This is Stephen A. Smith saying Stephon Diggs wants out in Buffalo.
Brother wants out. He don't want to be in Buffalo anymore. He don't want to. I'm telling you right now. I have my sources. Stephon Diggs got to be there, but he would prefer to be gone because he's lost a level of belief in the Buffalo Bills. That's right. I said it. It's Stephen A., baby. But he's not going to force his way out. He know he got to be there and they got to perform. But he ain't feeling the Buffalo Bills the way that he once did because he feels there's a window of opportunity that they may have missed out on.
So a few things here. Stephon Diggs, it was a few weeks ago. Remember, you had the whole situation that did go down with the Bills, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, Josh Allen, and it seemed really ugly. And Sean McDermott, I'm a big Sean McDermott fan. He threw gasoline on the fire, and it spread like crazy. Stephon Diggs reported, was not happy. We don't know the full details, but had a meeting with the Buffalo Bills. And then was sent home or just left. And then Sean McDermott gets up there on the podium and goes, yeah, it's real concerning that Stephon Diggs isn't there. However, they tried to put a bow on this and make it look like everything was fine. After that, you could believe what you want to believe. But Stephon Diggs was annoyed about something. But then when training camp starts, because that was going back to minicamp, remember. When training camp starts, Stephon Diggs, I think after a few days, he did a media availability. And he was asked straight up, do you want to finish your career as a member of the Buffalo Bills? And he said yes. Now, some people could take that seriously and genuinely believe that. Others could roll their eyes. Here's where we're at today with Stephon Diggs. He responds to what Stephen A. Smith had to say. He said, it's 100% not true. I don't know who the source is, but I thought I nipped this bleep in the bud already. And then said in another tweet, rocking with my dogs, Bills Mafia, through and through. So, Hickey, I'll just ask you this. I do think there's parts of what Stephen A. Smith said that are true. And maybe Stephon Diggs is looking at this like, I said what I said, and we're moving on. Because maybe it is Stephon Diggs' preference, regardless of what he says, to be out of Buffalo. But you look at his contract, he ain't going anywhere. The dead cap hit this season, $45 million. The year after that, $31 million. The year after that, $22 million. I know we've grown accustomed to where we look at dead cap a little bit differently after Carson Wentz trade from the Eagles, after Jared Goff's trade with the LA Rams, but that's at the quarterback position. We've seen teams do crazy things for quarterbacks. And in this case, the Bills have a window right now where they still have a Super Bowl window. I know a lot of people jumped off that bandwagon, but they have a Super Bowl window. And in a wide receiver room that is not great, it would make no sense to take away Stephon Diggs, who, yes, Stephon Diggs, until he got there, we'd never seen this version of Josh Allen, which has been a great version. But also, you got to give some credit to Josh Allen as well. It would make no sense to trade Stephon Diggs. So I think it's like a little bit of a mixture of both, where Stephon Diggs, for now, is at peace with what happened. He said what he wanted to say, but he realized it was kind of just like driving to a dead end. Eventually, there's nowhere to go. And you could come in 1,000 miles an hour and you could make a lot of noise, but eventually there's that curb. And eventually there's nowhere to go. And that's kind of what Stephon Diggs is at, where he said what he said. It got contentious. It got ugly. But he realizes there's no moving forward without the Buffalo Bills right now for the foreseeable future. And this may pop up again during the season. But I'm not going to dismiss what Stephen A. said, and I'm not going to totally dismiss what Stephon Diggs tweeted today. But ultimately, in this season, we'll find out what the truth is. Because no matter if you think the Bills are going to be great or you think they're going to be horrible, there will be a moment this year where we'll have two feelings on the Buffalo Bills. There will be a moment where they hit some adversity and people are going to bring this back up. And there's going to be another moment where they're playing so well that people are going to start to buy back in on the Buffalo Bills. I'm more curious, though, when you reach that moment of adversity, how Stephon Diggs conducts himself. Because if there's a game where Stephon Diggs doesn't like the targets that he's receiving and doesn't think there's enough of them, and they're losing the game, in probably a game that they feel like they shouldn't lose, that's when you could say, well, put this issue on the back burner. It's a non-issue. But when he has a reaction that's similar to what happened at mandatory minicamp, if it does happen, that's when it goes to the front burner. So for Stephon Diggs, if you want me to give you the benefit of the doubt, if you want me to believe that everything's fine and you want to end the year in Buffalo, I'm not saying you can't have an opinion, but it can't boil to the point that it did going back to mandatory minicamp, Hickey.
Well, that's why, like I said, it's training camp is one thing, but we will actually see how repaired or not this relationship is if the Bills start the season, let's say, 2-5.
And remember, and they play the Jets week one.
Right. Or they lose Monday a night. Game in November, and all of a sudden he gets two targets and he's freaking out. Or they lose the wild card round, and this stuff pops up again. Look, we already seen it once, right? We've seen him force his way out of Minnesota. Now the issue for Diggs is you can be frustrated, sure, and you want to win.
But you have a great quarterback.
But if you want to win and you want out of Buffalo, there is three or four teams maybe that give you a better chance than the Bills to go win a Super Bowl. And cap space, contract-wise, you're not going to get there.
Well, let's go through those teams,
too. So it's like, really, you know, it's a losing argument.
Also, if you want to go through those teams, Kansas City, the Bills aren't going to trade you to Kansas City. The Chiefs do have a need for a number one wide receiver, but they're not going to overpay. So you're going to have to take less money to go to Kansas City. They're in the penthouse right now. The Cincinnati Bengals, they don't have room for you because they're going to pay Jamar Chase. I don't think T. Higgins is going anywhere. You still have Tyler Boyd on that team. If you want to say the Philadelphia Eagles, they're not going to do that. They have A.J. Brown and they have Devontae Smith. 49ers? Right now, they gave Deebo Samuel a contract. They have Christian McCaffrey. So those are the teams that you could argue right now where I don't think many people are going to give you blowback. And I'm not even saying they're like leaps and bounds better than the Buffalo Bills, but are better than the Buffalo Bills. And also you look at all those situations, if you value targets a lot and being the number one, which you are right now in Buffalo, and if you value winning and you also want to get paid, the best place to do that is in Buffalo because the Eagles have a crowded wide receiver room. The Chiefs aren't going to probably pay you what you want. The Bengals don't have room. And the 49ers, we don't know what their quarterback is. So the place where Stephon Diggs should be happy is Buffalo. I'm not saying don't demand greatness, don't question why it did go wrong, but sometimes you just get beat and you get embarrassed and other teams better. Now, you should be fired up and you don't want that to happen again, but it can't boil over into a point where on both sides, from McDermott and Stephon Diggs, this thing got really messy at mandatory minicamp, no matter what people try to do in the cleanup process right now.
And that's the thing, too, is if he wants targets equal to winning, you're the number one receiver in Buffalo.
By far.
There's two other receivers in Cincinnati. 49ers are loaded everywhere on the roster, running back, tight end, receiver.
And they got to pay other guys.
The Chiefs have Travis Kelce. He's the number one target. If you want to call him receiver, he basically is. He's the number one receiver on that team.
But we all know
Eagles
the Bills
are loaded. You're not going anywhere else where you're the number one target and also going to get the number one, you know, the lion's share of targets as well. You're getting 15 targets a game.
And let's say if it got to this point where Stephon Diggs wanted to trade, there's one place you can't trade him to. Yeah, outside of the AFCs. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a team. You're not going to make it even easier for Patrick Mahomes, as great of a GM as Brandon Bean is, you're basically asking to get fired if you end up trading Stephon Diggs to the Kansas City Chiefs. So you're in a dead end right now. You could bitch, you could complain, but if you actually value winning, there's no other destination that's realistic that you could go to that's going to pull the trigger and give you a better chance to win than the Buffalo Bills right now.
The only win, if you want to call it a win, he can get if this season goes awry and he kind of pulls what he did last year, is getting a new head coach.
Fair.
I think that that's a situation where if the Bills, especially kind of a repeat of last year's postseason where maybe it's one shaky win and they get eliminated earlier than they should, and all of a sudden now you're talking about another offseason of disappointment, I think you can win, if you will, quote-unquote, by throwing a fit and getting Sean McDermott fired and getting, by that point, Ken Dorsey fired and bringing in new offensive mind to obviously redesign the offense, or maybe again make the offense more potent than it should be.
And once again, we don't know how the Pegula family is going to react to that, and we don't know how Brandon Bean is going to react to that. Here are just the facts. The Buffalo Bills, before Sean McDermott got there, the last time they made the playoffs was 1999. He got there in year one in 2017. They made the playoffs, they missed the playoffs, and they've made the playoffs ever since. But expectations have increased. Just making the playoffs isn't good enough. And they have an opportunity, And you don't know how this team's going to look in 3-4 years from now. But for the next 2 to 3 seasons, they should be in the Super Bowl contending conversation. And sometimes, and it may be easy for us to say, oh, well, if they lose in the divisional round again, get rid of the coach. Or if they lose in wild card round, get rid of the coach. I don't know how the Pegula family and Brandon Bean's going to operate that. When we look at it, Sean McDermott did a great job building the foundation of the house and building that house up 3-4 stories, right? Floors. But sometimes you may need to bring in a guy to, off that foundation, lay the roof of the house. If you want that house to look like a Super Bowl championship team, can Sean McDermott do it? Yeah, he could. But if it goes once again where you're in the conference championship game, I think up by like 9 points to the Chiefs in 2020, and then you lose in the divisional round because of the 13-second blunder, and then the next year you lose in the divisional round again, and then you either lose in the divisional round or wild card round, then it's a different conversation. That's easy for us to say, and I do think that could be a legit conversation at the end of the year. But with that being said, until the Pegula family and also Brandon Bean are met with that decision, I truly do not know how they're going to operate that. So here's the question I'll ask you today. And you can jump on in at Zach Gelb on Twitter, at Zach Gelb on Instagram, at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. Also, hit us up at the phone lines, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The Buffalo Bills this year will be in the Super Bowl, lose in the AFC Championship game, lose in the divisional round or wild card round because we only get 4 choices, or miss the playoffs. Hickey, what's your answer on this one?
Lose in the wild card or divisional round.
And I probably lean more towards them losing a divisional round, right? Compared to the wild card round, if you had to pick between the two?
Probably, but also depends on the matchup. They almost lost in the wild card round and maybe arguably should have lost in the wild card round last year.
To Skylar Thompson and the Miami Dolphins. And right now that's the leader at 57.3%. Then losing the AFC Championship game is 21.3%. Be in the Super Bowl is 13.5% and miss the playoffs at 7.9%. I do believe the Buffalo Bills will be a playoff team. Will they win the division? We'll have to wait and see. But the Buffalo Bills now are getting doubted after a year ago. Everyone picked them to go to the Super Bowl. And I just want to see how this team responds to that adversity. And that's what makes them a fun story entering this year. Are you going to continue to go in the direction where you've been so close but yet so far, where you just got embarrassed by the Cincinnati Bengals, who are a heck of a football team in the divisional round, or when people start questioning you, when people start saying Sean McDermott's on the hot seat, does this team that's a very enjoyable and easy to root for team rally together and basically go on the bleep you tour and basically go get their revenge and make every single person that doubted them this offseason shut up at the end of the year when you have a Lombardi trophy in Las Vegas having the biggest party that maybe the NFL's ever seen with Bills Mafia going nuts? That's the question. That's what I want to see, how they respond to this adversity. Because last year, everyone loved you. You couldn't find people, you couldn't pay people to say a negative word about the Buffalo Bills. And now that has drastically shifted. And you learn a lot about someone when people start to doubt you and back you in a corner and basically have you left for dead, where no one's picking you to go to the Super Bowl this year. People pick you to be a playoff team, but no one's picking you to be a Super Bowl team. And that's what I want to see, how the Buffalo Bills respond to that and how those players say bleep you to the people or make the people proven to be true. And that answer is going to be just so compelling to see. Let's go to Michael in Buffalo. Next up on the Zach Gelb Show, 855-212-4CBS.
Hey, Zach, good evening. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. I wanted to touch on the Steph Diggs thing, but at the same time, I also want to comment on what you were just talking about. I think the Steph Diggs thing is way blown out of proportion. It was the same talk that happened when he left Minnesota. He came to Buffalo, and it's been nothing but great. And I think that people doubting him and doubting what he's saying, I think is a little off base. As far as they're going to do this year, this is a team that lost 3 games during the regular season by a combined 8 points. Yes, the playoff did happen, and it's what have you done for me lately, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that seeing how they played the games last year, seeing how everything worked out, Josh Allen hurting his elbow, whether that affected the rest of the season or not, the first half of the season, they were unstoppable. Nobody was touching him. So I really think that all of this throw dirt on him talk is very, very overblown, and I think, obviously, I'm a Buffalo fan, but I really think that coming down to it, they're going to be the team that they were, and they'll get the results that they're looking for.
Well, Michael, I think this season, I appreciate the phone call, it comes down to three things. And these three things I need to see from the Buffalo Bills. Von Miller has to be back. Von Miller has to be healthy because Von Miller had that big stop last year up against Mahomes where he rushed him, made him throw that bad pass. Teron Johnson intercepts it. Von Miller was brought there to win a championship. The other thing, running the football has to be more of a priority this year. I'm not saying run the ball with running backs more than you throw it because Josh Allen still has to get his carries, but they have to take some of the load off the plate and some of the food off the plate of Josh Allen. Because they keep on saying, Josh got to take fewer hits. Josh got to go down sooner. Well, then hand the ball off to the running backs more. And don't let him be a bulldozer until later on in the year. And the other thing is just locker room chemistry. I know some guys in the Buffalo Bills teams. Deion Dawkins, Tyler Medikevich, friends, some of the classiest people I've ever met. Good dudes. There's good dudes in that locker room. But at the end of the year, and I know, right, that Buffalo Bills team, they had to go through a lot last year. And they did a lot of remarkable things coming together. But now, with that Stephon Diggs situation, it's will that be a problem? And I just wonder where that locker room chemistry is at heading into this season. Right now, I don't think it's a problem. I don't. But if something doesn't go Stephon Diggs' way, does it start to boil over again? Those three things are what you need to watch for with the Bills this year. And we'll see how it plays out. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Bob Soucy joins us on the other side. We'll preview the Pats.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, let's preview the Patriots right now. We do so with the play-by-play voice of the New England Patriots, and that is Bob Soucy. Bob, always great to have you on. How you been, my friend?
Hey, it's been great to talk with you in the past. Looking forward to this one, so I'm doing well, Zach.
Well,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. All right, I'll start you off with Bill O'Brien. That was the big hire this offseason. We all know last year it was a disgrace with Patricia and Judge. I know we've seen a lot of Bill O'Brien in the past, but what type of offense are the Patriots getting this year with the new OC?
Well, I think it's going to look a lot like Bill O'Brien's offense of the past with some of Bill O'Brien's offense from Alabama included. We saw, in fact, a couple of plays in the preseason game on Saturday night at Green Bay involving the RPO. And I think you will see the offense now run through the quarterback, Mac Jones. He'll have more tools in his toolbox pre-snap, very similar to his rookie year with Josh McDaniels. And it allows him, I think, to use his best asset, Zach. And he actually talked about this today in a local radio appearance. You know, it's his cerebral approach to the game and his intelligence and being able to diagnose the defense, try to get the Patriots into a good play, and maybe more importantly, away from a bad play. And really last year, in all honesty, that veto system, if you will, that those checks were not at his avail. And there are a lot of other differences that we'll see as well, and including some different personnel. But I think that's the biggest thing. I think the quarterback is comfortable and relaxed, and this is an opportunity for him, provided he has protection, to pick up where he left off after a promising rookie season.
So I asked for two things this offseason. I wanted a legit offensive coordinator. They got one. I also wanted a number one wide receiver for the Pats. They did not do that. Do they have enough here at the wide receiver position, in your opinion, for them to be a playoff team this season?
Well, I think they have enough at the wide receiver position if those three wide receivers that we saw primarily on Saturday night are healthy, Devontae Parker, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kendrick Bourne, who I think is poised for a year very similar to what he had two seasons ago, and he had 50-plus catches and a 75% catch rate. And some big plays against Dallas, for one, the Jets as well, a couple of long touchdown catches and runs. Last year, you know, really by his own admission and, you know, by observation, you could see it. It was a year that went awry from the start. And there's a rookie, DeMario Douglas, who's a really intriguing player. Kid drafted in the sixth round out of Liberty. He's been a fun player to watch in camp. He has been maybe their most consistent, productively consistent receiver. And they've had a rookie receiver as well, same round, sixth round out of LSU, Kayshon Boutte, who's really come on of late the last couple of weeks and has had two back-to-back strong preseason games, including a catch and a runaway for a touchdown, 42 yards against Green Bay on Saturday. So, you know, they don't have the speed downfield. Tyquan Thornton was drafted last year in the second round to be that guy, but he's banged up right now, made a diving catch in joint practices, and did not play in the game on Saturday. I think his development is something they're really counting on, and we're not seeing it because he hasn't been on the field consistently enough. But nonetheless, I think the receivers are good enough to compete, again, if healthy. The big issue is giving Matt Jones the time to find those receivers and being able to block in the running game, too.
Let's get to the next down. Play-by-play voice of the New England Patriots, Bob Soucy here with us. They need another running back. I like Ramondre Stevenson a lot, and now they brought in Ezekiel Elliott. What can Ezekiel Elliott, Bob, bring to this football team this season?
Well, one thing he's already brought is energy. He's acting like he's been around the team for a long time. And I was very surprised, Zach. The first day, he was eased into some walkthrough reps and had a chance maybe to run some pass routes when they were working on their own before they went head-to-head to the Packers. That was on Wednesday afternoon, his first day with the team after joining the team on its flight out from Providence to Green Bay. On Thursday, he was a lot more invested physically. He's still running with that hard style, and I think, you know, he can give them something in the passing game too, especially pass protection, which is, I think, a big reason why he's here, to relieve Ramondre Stevenson some of the load that he was going to have to carry. But really, he had to for much of last year and eventually wore down because of. But Stevenson, very energetic on the sideline during the joint practices when he wasn't out there, and as well on the sideline on Saturday night in the preseason game. By all accounts, he's blending in very well. Bill O'Brien has talked about what a smart football man and football player he is, and O'Brien has known him since he was in high school when Bill was coaching at Penn State. So right now, you know, it's thumbs up from everybody around the organization. They like having him here. They really needed somebody here, as you alluded to, because Stevenson's a talented back, but the final 3 weeks of last season were a lot different than the first 14 games for him. When he led the team in rushing, first 1,000-yard rusher for the Patriots since LeGarrette Blount, and also had a team-high 60-plus receptions, 69 receptions.
Is Malik Cunningham going to be on this team, do you think?
I would think that they're going to try to find a way to keep him on this team. He's another guy, very exciting player. Obviously, they signed him for $200,000 as an undrafted free agent. That's a record for the Pats. That's a signal that they really liked him. They're making him, you know, into a wide receiver, but he's shown some skills at quarterback too, and had a terrific late game drive against Houston in the preseason opener, the saving grace, frankly, for that game. And he's continued to work at receiver, but also now getting more reps on special teams. You saw him a little bit at gunner. So I think they're trying to find as much value as they can in him in the present, as opposed to maybe being somebody who is forecast to be a developmental player down the road. And I think that there's a good chance he's on the roster as a 53rd player because of his skill set. And, you know, perhaps we may see some packages down the road for him from the QB spot, maybe, you know, running some wildcat. He showed he could throw the ball, too. He made a beautiful throw on the run against Houston that should have been caught for a touchdown, and was mishandled by the intended receiver. But he's an exciting young player. He's very bright. Again, you know, has fit in extremely well, like Douglas, like Boutte, the two rookie receivers that I've mentioned. And those three guys, especially Douglas and Cunningham, reflect embody the athleticism the Patriots have tried to infuse a bit, and they desperately need it in the last couple of drafts. And really, Stevenson's another guy if you go back to the draft 3 years ago.
Let's get to the next down. Bob Sosi here with us, the play-by-play voice of the Patriots. So I'm strict when I use the word great. Ever since Brady's final year, I have not called the Patriots a great defense when others have. I think they're a good defense, Bob. Don't get me wrong. Big fan of Christian Gonzalez. I love Matthew Judon. Is this a good defense, a very good defense, a great defense heading into this year? Where do you kind of fall on that scale?
Well, Zach, I'm of the mind they're a good defense. And, you know, because I look at the division that they're in, for example, the schedule they play outside of the division. They're going to really be tested. And while their front is, I think, very good, and I think, you know, Juwan Bentley has really become an underrated linebacker, one of the better linebackers, and he's really improved, I think, as an all-down player now for this team. And they're very strong at safety in terms of the numbers. Jabril Peppers has in year two as a Patriot, really had a very good camp. He's looked a lot more comfortable and confident, moving better. Certainly brings physicality to his position at safety. I think last year coming off a knee injury with the Giants in the previous season, we didn't necessarily see, at least right out of the gate. But the question is, and you mentioned Gonzalez, the Patriots cornerbacks. Now, Jonathan Jones has been handled a little bit cautiously the last week or so, dealing with a minor injury reportedly. He's a good cornerback. Last year made the shift outside from inside where he was a very good slot cornerback. Marcus Jones is a kid who's a very exciting athlete, all-purpose player. Touchdown last year with a pick six and with a touchdown reception on offense and a punt return for a touchdown to beat the Jets as well. He's making the move to that slot corner position. There's a lot of positive things about him, but obviously he's another kid. You got two guys right there in Gonzalez and Marcus Jones. You have Jack Jones, another second-year player, again, a talented cornerback, but someone who's dealing with some issues off the field that, you know, certainly put his future in question, not only for the Patriots, but, you know, in terms of his legal situation, you know, in much more important ways. And, you know, he's a kid as well, but with his youth and his ball-hawking desire, is going to be prone to making some mistakes out there. And then you have Miles Bryant. Jalen Mills has been playing a lot more safety for them as they try to fill the void without Devin McCourty. So I think that's really the area and on the back end that leads me to think good, but can't go to great until they show it on the field.
And let's get to the final down. Bob Sosi here with us, the play-by-play voice of the Patriots. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Bob, I'll preface my next comment by saying I do believe Bill Belichick will be the coach of the team next year, but that's been a big national talking point about how warm is the hot seat for Bill Belichick entering this season with the Pats.
Well, you know, Zach, I've heard that, and I do think, you know, considering a couple of things. One, the troubles they've had in the last two seasons in particular, in very uncharacteristic ways compared to Bill's teams in the past. I'm not even talking about wins and losses. Now, some of the mistakes that have been made, special teams breakdowns and so forth. Four block punts allowed the last 2 years. Last year, three kickoff returns of the six kickoff returns for touchdowns in the league, including two in the regular season finale against Buffalo. You know, those are the kind of things. Pre-snap penalties, substitution errors, timeouts used to avoid a 12th defender on the field and whatnot. Those are the things that, you know, accompany the win-loss numbers. And then, of course, you referenced right off the top what took place for the Patriots offense last year in the way that, you know, a number one pick and a quarterback that the franchise has pinned its hopes on as the quarterback of its future was kind of set back. And certainly Mac had a tough time handling that situation, and he was complicit as well with some of the struggles down the stretch, especially. But I think the hiring of Bill O'Brien, I believe the appointment of Joe Judge, who technically is the assistant head coach and not entitled the special teams coordinator, but really he's running special teams, that's going to address a lot of the problems that they've had. And Bill will be more involved now in coaching all of the team, like he's always been prior to last season for the Pats, when last year he really had his hands, you know, in that offensive huddle in meeting room as well with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia trying to straighten that offense out. So I, you know, he's 18 wins away from Don Shula. I think this team, again, who knows what's going to happen with injuries. If they can find the offensive line to be a cohesive unit and get those guys, the five guys they expect to be their starters on the field, which include Michael Owenu and Cole Strange, two guards that have not, in Strange's case, practiced only a little bit, and Owenu's not at all to this point, I think they've got a real chance to be not only a competitive team, but a playoff team against a very good division. And, you know, if they're 8-9 like last year, I think they'll be a much better 8-9 team against the schedule than they were last year. And then beyond that, you're looking, okay, well, Bill could tie Shula's record or pass Shula's record the following season, because I think the arrow is pointing up with some of the young kids that they've brought in the last couple of drafts. They've really improved their drafting in the last couple of years, really the last 3 years, compared to maybe the previous 6-7. And I think that's a big factor.
Bob Soucy, enjoy the season. We always appreciate you. Give us a few minutes. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Zach. Always.
There you go. Bob Soucy joining us on the show. I'll give you my immediate reaction to that. I'm nervous about this upcoming season for my Patriots because of one reason and one reason only. I know the division is very good, right? On paper, the Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins, they're all better than the Patriots this year. But for the Patriots to have a chance to make the playoffs this year, they're going to need that offensive line to hold up. And don't get me wrong. I only got one thing that I asked for this offseason. I asked for two things. A legit offensive coordinator and a number one wide receiver. Only got a legit offensive coordinator. That defense will be good. They can be very good. I don't think they're going to be great. Offensively, they got to be better at protecting the football this year. But they don't have elite playmakers around Mac Jones. And Hickey, why I'm concerned is how many times Bob in that interview talked about if the offensive line could hold up, if the offensive line could hold up. They don't have great talent on the offensive side of the ball where if everything is going to be better and things are going to be where they get to 9-10 wins and make the playoffs, the ability to have the offensive line be potentially as bad as the way it felt like Bob was alluding to in that conversation. That O-line is a massive concern for me.
Hearing the word if, yeah, not great. Now, when a lot of sentences repeatedly start with the word if, and I've lived there, I have been there too many times, I like to admit, usually things go the other way than you're hoping to say, if this happens, most time does not happen.
And I love Bob, but, you know, Bob is, right, the Patriot broadcaster, so he's not going to, like, crush the team. And I think Bob is fair. But when you kind of say if about the offensive line that many times, those are just kind of just keywords that gets my antenna up a little bit and makes me go, I don't like the way that sounds. I've said this all offseason. The Patriots could be, I think, at worst an 8-win team. At best, I think they're a 10-win team. Belichick still, even though he's in charge of the roster and does a great job with the roster last few years, he gets the most out of what's there. Where last year, they should not have been an 8-win team with the way that they were constructed, and they still were. And they had a chance to make the playoffs the final game of the season. But that offensive line is going to define this season. It really is, if they're going to have a shot or not. And if you're worrying about Trent Brown, Cole Strange, who's been, you know, was fine last year, but now injured, David Andrews coming off an injury, Owenu dealing with an injury, if that line can't hold up, it could be a long year.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, I need you to translate something for me here because we're in Jerry Jones speak again, where there's always a line in Jerry Jones' statements or answers that I go, what the heck does that mean? Like when one of your friends says something and you just, after a few drinks, you have no clue what he's saying and you go, what the bleep is this guy talking about? So this was Jerry Jones to Peter King. I'll give you the full quote and then we'll go back and circle back to the part where it's like, huh? You shouldn't give up the ghost because you fall short in a highly competitive league. Just because we haven't won in so long doesn't mean what we've done is meaningless. And I think this year we're in a better position to win than we have been in other years. We have the team and we have the quarterback. I need to circle back on the part that said, Hickey, from Jerry Jones, you shouldn't give up the ghost because you fall short in a highly competitive league. What does that mean? I've never heard that phrase, you shouldn't give up the ghost. Translate, please.
Like chasing a Super Bowl. They've never come close. It's like the thing that keeps evading them. They have been, 25 years now talking about it and not achieved it. Especially recently, the last 5 years, he's talked about it a ton. They've come nowhere close. And he's saying, I'm still not going to give up chasing that, despite the fact that we've not come close.
So with context of everything else, like after the ghost part, it does make sense. That's the way that I interpreted that. But if I just read you shouldn't give up the ghost because you fall short in a highly competitive league, would you still draw that conclusion there? Because the you shouldn't give up the ghost part is like, huh?
I think it's, I don't say a common saying. I've definitely heard that before.
Chasing like the ghost of the past. Things like that.
Like it's like, that's like, yeah, you're kind of chasing again. Something like that's keeps on invading you. Keep
gotcha.
Up the dream. You can, insert whatever you want to use as the synonym or the adjective, I guess, for the ghost. But
I feel like he meant to say hope. Like you shouldn't give up the hope because you fall short in a highly competitive league. I feel like hope would have been the better word of choice there by one Jerry Jones. But anyway, I always find Jerry Jones fascinating because there are certain waves of the Jerry Jones offseason where it's like last year, we still run through Zeke. And then it's, oh, we're going to need Dak more when he realized that was a slight at Dak Prescott. This year, it has been all over the place where now they've made it more of a Dak-friendlier offense is what he said. I truly do believe this, and it's kind of amazing to have this quality. Jerry Jones does more interviews than any owner in the NFL, by far and away. There are some times he's on The Fan in Dallas. I know one of them is a paid spot, but he's on The Fan in Dallas for like sometimes in the beginning of the week, at the end of the week, and another time in between. So I do appreciate that. But sometimes when you're exposing yourself that much, it's like, oh, you get tired. Oh, it's not worth it. Every time Jerry Jones speaks, Hickey, it's worth it. Because he gives you something new every time. So now he's definitely telling you where it was just, I think it was at the start of training camp. He's like, you got to get through training camp. But we have the potential and all that. Now we are getting towards the end of training camp, Hickster. And he's saying they have the team. He's saying they have the quarterback. So to say that, it's one thing. What happens if they don't end up getting to, forget a Super Bowl, even an NFC title game, which they haven't done since the last time they did go all the way back in 1995. And that's the thing with Jerry Jones where he says all these things where usually you go, oh, you could use your words against you at a later date. It doesn't usually equal that where Jerry Jones says a bunch of things. And then if it doesn't go one way, then the changes you would think based off what he's saying right now would end up happening at the end of the season.
I think it's inadvertent, but anytime he talks, he's continuing to put more and more pressure on Dak Prescott. Again, we just right here talking about Peter King. Hey, look, we think we can win a Super Bowl. Earlier in the offseason, it's a Dak-friendly offense. It's going to be simplified for Dak.
Not wrong.
I don't think he's trying to add extra pressure on Dak Prescott's plate, but if we're sitting here in January with another wild card divisional round loss and Dak plays the way he has in the playoffs previously, again, this upcoming year, if you're Jerry,
I have no problem with it.
Forget Mike McCarthy. Dak Prescott's going to be number one to blame, and you got some answers for yourself about what are you going to do about it.
And I have no problem with Jerry Jones putting more pressure on Dak Prescott. Say what you want about Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones the last few years has put together a really good team where the last two playoffs, they've lost because of the quarterback. The quarterback against San Francisco in the divisional round, or it was a wild card round a few years ago, wasn't good enough. Couldn't even get the ball snapped at the end of the game. And then last year, they lose in the divisional round to San Francisco, where the defense gave you a championship effort. So you may say it's like unintentional. I think Jerry Jones is calculated there. Jerry Jones is trying to make the quarterback feel good and hoping that the quarterback, who's a good quarterback, just not a great quarterback, ends up advancing the team this year. And they made the change this offseason. No more Kellen Moore. Not there. McCarthy getting more of a say, right? Even though he's the head coach. Dak Prescott, they got you another wide receiver in Cooks. There's no excuses this year for the Cowboys. Now, do I believe that they're going to go all the way? Do I believe they're going to get to an NFC title game? No. But what happens if Dak doesn't get them there? I still think Dak's going to be the quarterback. But if I'm paying someone $40 million a year, if I put pressure on you, too much pressure on you, tough you know what. Because you're getting paid $40 million in the last 2 years, you've been the reason why this team didn't go to the next round of the playoffs. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll break. When we come on back, it is a Monday. Five questions, five answers. We'll do a little onsides, offside. You don't want to go anywhere. The Zach Gelb Show returns in cinco minutos.